The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook, and I just posted yesterday a really great interview with the president of Legacy Precious Metals, who is discussing why you need to start your retirement account even if you're in your 20s or 30s. There is always a great time to protect your retirement and invest, just like you want to protect your health over the long term. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and as always, there is so much to talk about. And today, we get to discuss all of the breaking news headlines and what is we can look forward to in the next Congress with my very good friend, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who joins me now. So, Congresswoman, always such a privilege and a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jenna. I love talking with you. So I'm happy to be here today.
I love talking with you too. So first, I think the biggest question on everyone's mind is what will be the priorities for the House now that Republicans have taken back control of the House? But obviously, there's still this question of the Senate. We still have Herschel Walker outstanding, but there's a lot that Congress can do. So what have you all been talking about and what will be the priorities?
Well, it's important to set realistic expectations. We do not control the White House, so that means most of the bills that we would want to be signed into law, Joe Biden will not sign them into law. So we will be prioritizing our budget, different types of bills like the NDAA, appropriation bills. But more importantly, we'll be focusing on investigations. And that's why it's so important for us to have the gavel on January 3rd, because there are many things we really want to investigate, such as Hunter Biden's laptop leading to Joe Biden. Never forget 10% for the big guy. COVID-19, the origins and our government's involvement, vaccine mandates. There's so much we want to get into, and especially going after Mayorkas. He needs to resign or face impeachment inquiry. So we have a lot of work to do as Republicans, and we're ready to take power.
Yeah. So speaking of impeachment, has there been any discussion about filing articles of impeachment against Joe Biden? I know that you already have done that once. And so is that something that's on the agenda? I think there's a lot of Republicans that kind of seem a little bit hesitant to do that. But from just a basic constitutional perspective, there are so many reasons and so many legal bases by which he rightly should be impeached, even if it didn't cross the threshold of conviction in the Senate.
Absolutely, Jenna. Well, what we have to do is we have to prove it through our investigations on committee, and that will be easy to do through Hunter Biden's laptop. And then also, if anyone's been paying attention to Jamie Comer talking about these suspicious activity reports on Hunter Biden's accounts and other family members' bank accounts. These are types of reports that very few Americans ever get. And Hunter Biden and his family, they've had over 150 suspicious activity reports. Those are wire transfers of large sums of money from countries like China. We'll be investigating those as well. And so leading into impeachment for Joe Biden, I think it's just a matter of time. And we'll be proving it on our committee investigations. And I think you'll see a big change in our Republican conference. It's already changing that way. And we know that the American people support it.
The American people do support that. And I think we all really want answers. I mean, even some of the Democrats that aren't the far extreme leftists are looking at the COVID situation and realizing that they were lied to, and they do want answers for that. So as we're looking at the Republican leadership, you've supported Kevin McCarthy for speaker. Talk about that and why Republicans should support him, or what the dynamic is there.
Well, I'm urging people to pay attention to his public statements. These aren't statements that he's making behind closed doors or in our conference meetings. These are statements he's making at press conferences, when he's appearing on the news and many different, anytime anyone's questioning him publicly, he's saying things like he's telling Mayorkas to resign or face impeachment inquiry. He is saying we're going after the Bidens through Hunter Biden's laptop. He's saying that we want to get rid of the vaccine mandates in the military and reinstate those military members who were fired from the military for refusing to take the vaccine. He's saying that we're going to increase border security and secure our border and stop fentanyl. He's saying we're going to hold China accountable. These are things that all Republicans want. And so this is very important to pay attention to the public statements, because that's the agenda he's laying out himself. So I think people, and conservatives especially, should really appreciate that. Then let's also face the political reality. There's no one else running for speaker. Andy Biggs threw his name in. He's a great friend of mine, but he was only able to get just about 30-something votes in our conference, basically our primary, in our conference meetings. But so going into January 3rd, Kevin McCarthy has the large majority support of our conference. And since that date, it's even much higher than it was that day when we voted. And he's ready to serve. Another thing people don't realize is we're going to be moving into 2024, which is a presidential election year. We need a Speaker of the House that can not only lead and go after the America First agenda that we all support, but can also raise the money across the country to support Republican House candidates to get reelected and also elect more House Republicans. We need more in there. And that also helps the presidential primary. That also helps 2024 in the general winning the White House back. That's the ultimate goal. And Jenna, you know who I'm supporting, President Trump. I want to see President Trump back in the White House, and we'll be working very hard to do that. So there's many factors at play when people look at who can be speaker. And the reality of our conference is that you can't really elect a strong conservative. That's not the makeup of our conference. And the makeup of our conference will not elect a strong conservative. And no one else is running for speaker, really, but Kevin McCarthy. And that's why basically almost every single Republican in our conference is ready to vote for him on January 3rd.
And that makes a lot of sense. I think for a lot of people, though, they're really concerned that Kevin McCarthy is making all of these statements, but will he actually follow through? And they've also seen how he did a lot of fundraising and took some money from FTX in terms of the Congressional Minority Fund, and didn't really spend that in appropriate places to promote and also support America First candidates. So does any of that concern you? Are you talking to him? I think a lot of people trust you. And so, and they know that you are the strong conservative, but they also recognize that in Congress, you're a team player. And so there are certain give and take and compromises in a sense that you have to make to get to the majority. And that also makes sense. So what can you tell us in terms of whether he will follow through with this? Because I think a lot of people see him more as a rhino than someone who will genuinely follow through with his agenda.
Sure, I understand. Well, first of all, let me say I haven't compromised anything. Nothing has changed about me, and I had no deals I had to make to support Kevin McCarthy. I'm a realist, and so I make my decision based on what's actually realistic, not what we wish or fantasize can happen in Congress. And unfortunately, that's being sold to a lot of people, and I think that's wrong. So I will tell you the truth every single time, whether people like to hear it or not. It's just the factual truth. Here's where we are with Kevin McCarthy. Can I promise you exactly what he'll do as speaker? Absolutely, I cannot. But that's why I point to his public statements. His public statements are the statements that I can support. His public statements are the statements that I can help make happen, and our Republican conference can help make happen. And his public statements are also what we can all hold him accountable for. And so that's the job that we can do as a conference, but that's also the job that he has to do as speaker. And then as far as going for donations, of course, I can't speak to his donations because they're not mine and I didn't receive them. But what I do understand about the FTX donation is it wasn't that Sam Brinkman Fried or whatever his name is, the one that everyone that looks like he should be going to jail. It appears to be on the FEC statement that I saw is it was another employee of FTX. And I don't know anything about that person. So I think people, when they're looking into that story, need to recognize that it wasn't the Sam Bankman Fried. It was another employee of that company. And then as far as Congressional Leadership Fund and primaries, we all play against each other. There's been primary races where I've gone head to head with Kevin McCarthy. Conservatives have gone head to head with him and head to head with others. Like, we all fight it out in primaries. But when it comes to the general, we are all in for our Republican candidates in the general. And so I do know for a fact that not only Kevin McCarthy, but many other Republicans that aren't conservative heavily supported financially many America First candidates and donated their campaigns to help them get across the line. So these are things that, you know, interview him yourself and ask him those questions. But that's what I've looked into, and that's what I found out. But look, here's how I see it. January 3rd, we need to get a speaker in place. You want to know why? If we don't elect our speaker, none of us can swear in as members of Congress. None of the investigations that we want to do can start happening. As a matter of fact, nothing can happen until we elect a speaker on January 3rd. And I think it's our job as representatives of the people to get our act together and show the American people that Republicans can lead in the majority and that we're willing to do that. So we're working hard coming together. We've had some really great meetings. Kevin McCarthy had a meeting in his office that I took part of where he called it the five families. It was like the five families coming together, you know, the different Republican spectrum in our conference. A few of us from each five divided places came together, and we had a meeting that lasted several hours. We were just hammering it out. And the good news about that meeting is all the way around that table, everyone was saying that we're ready to do this. We're ready to communicate. We're ready to work together to get things done. And that's what I want to see happen, Jenna. I want to see Republicans in the majority prove to the American people that they can trust us to lead, us deliver the job and get it done, but also to show the American people that you want to vote for Republicans in 2024. And that's why we want to win the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2024.
And that's a lot of hope and encouragement, Congresswoman. I think that that's what a lot of people do want to see, that Republicans aren't just going to sit back and be spineless or to not take advantage of having the House majority. And so to have someone like you who is a courageous fighter, we know that you're going to hold people like Kevin McCarthy accountable. You're going to hold your own party accountable. And that's one of the things that I so respect and admire about you, is that even though you are a team player in the sense of bringing together your conference and coalition, you're also willing to call out the issues and to say things directly and frankly. And so let Kevin McCarthy know, I'd love to interview him. I've been very publicly critical of him. And so, you know, I think he may be a little intimidated to come on and, you know, not just go on some of the more friendly interviews on Fox and some of the other networks. But I would love to have a conversation with him and say, you know, what do you really want to do for the American people? Because I think that Republicans are so frustrated that it seems like there has been such a directive from the government against conservatives specifically. And we've all really felt that over the last 2 years of Joe Biden, especially with the January 6th committee. And so what discussion also has occurred in terms of what's going to happen with that report? I know Kevin McCarthy has instructed that committee to keep everything that they've had so that you all can look through it and there won't be some cherry picking there. But can we expect from that, from, you know, President Trump's tax returns, which I think is ridiculous that now, you know, those are even being investigated at all and cherry picked. What are some of the things that maybe will be some corrections from the Republicans that we can anticipate?
Well, I tell you, there is one thing that you and me and Kevin McCarthy all have in common is the January 6th committee would like to see all three of us in jail. And that's very serious. They've been coming after conservatives. They've been going after President Trump. The entire Democrat Party has going after President Trump, going after his family, going after his administration, his staff and those that support him and great people like you, people like me who objected on January 6th. Kevin McCarthy objected on January 6th as well. And he was one of the first members of Congress to receive a letter from them saying that they wanted him to testify, which he refused to do. And so that's a place where I think conservatives need to realize, you know, Kevin McCarthy isn't against him. He wasn't one of the members of Congress that did not object. He supported President Trump and objected to Joe Biden's Electoral College votes in several states. And that I'm thankful for. And I really do appreciate that. What he's done is he's asked for preservation of records from that committee. And because they need to be held accountable for the way they have abused the powers of Congress and abused the powers of committee and the powers of subpoena. That's extremely serious. And so those committee members that participated in that, they should be concerned because what they have done, the political persecution that they have used and abused, people like you, I know you're one of them, many people in the White House administration under President Trump have been abused and have to pay, you know, massive attorney fees to defend themselves because of Nancy Pelosi's political witch hunt and the January 6th committee's political witch hunt. Liz Cheney's, by the way, for her just insanity. We don't even know what's wrong with her anymore. She's not a Republican. We don't accept her. But these are the types of things that we very much want to go after and get done. Also, the national records. What are they doing? What was their play and their role with the documents that the FBI raided and took out of Mar-a-Lago? The Department of Justice, we have to hold them accountable. Merrick Garland, the way he has abused his power and turned the Department of Justice into basically a Democrat political operative wing paid for by the American taxpayers, that we cannot tolerate that. I think Merrick Garland should be impeached, and I think we have to make sure that we go after him and remove him from that position. But also something coming up that's extremely important for everyone to pay attention to is this Jack Smith, the special counsel that Merrick Garland has set up. That right there is going to be completely defunded. And Kevin McCarthy is committed to that. He's told me that. Others have told me that. There are people, many people in our Republican conference that are ready to take that down because we know exactly what it is. It's nothing but a repeat of Robert Mueller's special counsel and investigation into the so-called Russia collusion, which was nothing but a lie and a hoax. And it was Hillary Clinton and Obama for America and the DCCC, the DNC's. That was their paid for lying political research on President Trump, and it all was proven to be a lie. But these are the things that we have to get in place and keep working. And these are the things that I'm glad to hear Kevin McCarthy is on board to stop, because he wants to see, and I want to see, all of us want to see Congress returned to the rightful place to do its job, to do its job for the American people, and to stop producing drama and you know, fodder basically for the media to turn into headlines that just get used into Democrat political attack ads on Republicans every time they run for office. And so we are committed to that. And I'm very excited. I think it's important to be hopeful. I think it's important to work hard. And I think it's important not only to hold myself accountable, but to hold others accountable in my conference, because I want to see all of us be successful and do a good job for the American people. So that's all I can tell you. That's my outlook going into this. And I'm excited to get started in January.
Yeah, and that all sounds really exciting and really great, because I think you're absolutely right that the American people are really sick of the battles and the partisanship in Washington that seems so myopically focused on just getting Trump, that they're spending so much time and the taxpayers' money. And really, that's not the purpose of Congress. That should not be the purpose of the DOJ, just to focus on a subject looking for a crime. And we know from the whole Mueller investigation for 2 years, one of the main purposes of that was to simply drain President Trump's war chest from running again in 2020, and to try to drain his support and have so many people be hesitant to support him. And we're seeing that that's the same thing again going into 2024 now that he's actually announced. And so for Congress to actually get back to its job, what would you say to some of the detractors that will obviously just say, well, you know, if you defund the special counsel, or you go and investigate Hunter Biden's laptop, or you do any of these things that you're talking about, well, that's just playing partisan politics back. And they're going to come after you to say, well, Congress really doesn't have that authority. Because guess what? It's fine when the Democrats do it. But when the Republicans do it, now suddenly it breaks all the rules.
Right. Well, we have the power of the purse strings, and we get to choose what we fund and what we don't fund. And I think Republicans in Congress learned a powerful lesson on what they saw unfold with the Robert Mueller investigation. And I think there'll be a big change coming in our conference. And here's something also really interesting. Maybe most people don't know this, but you probably do. The majority of our majority, that's kind of an interesting way to phrase it. The majority of our majority, meaning over 50% of the upcoming Republican majority, has been elected in just the past few years. And that means that the majority of our majority is all in for Trump policies, America First policies, and more conservative than Republicans in the past. And so that's probably something that maybe people on the outside don't realize and don't understand about what our conference is going to be like in January, is the shift. We have had a shift over to the right, leaning more conservative because of the new members that have been elected since President Trump got elected in 2016. And so I'm really glad I'm telling you this, because I think it's important for people to understand this is not the same Republican conference that it was in years past. There is a big shift to the right because of the people that have been elected since President Trump. They're President Trump supporters. They're America First policy believers. And that's the type of things they want to do and work on in Congress when we have the majority starting in January. So keep in mind, we're not the same conference that it used to be before I got there. There's been a big change in the past several elections. And that's knowing that, because I have those conversations with people here when I'm in the Capitol or sitting on the House floor. And those are the conversations that people, you know, the American people aren't privy to. So I do want to share that with you, Jenna, and hope that gives people hope in what type of majority will be, that the majority of the majority is America First and pro-Trump.
That is really encouraging. And we do know that there's been a lot of change because Liz Cheney is gone. And that's awesome. She's no longer in leadership. She's not even in Congress anymore. And neither is Adam Kinzinger and some of these other people that really aren't representatives of the true Republican or America First Party. So that is really exciting. And hopefully then that shift, and I like the way you describe that, the majority of the majority, because then that majority within the majority can hold everyone else accountable. And we know that kind of shift will then guide the policies and the actions of the House majority. So I think that is really encouraging for people to see. And, you know, so many times the news tends to focus on the negatives, especially with the Republicans. So I'm really glad that you're here today telling all of my listeners to have hope and be encouraged. And so as we look forward to 2024, I know you're a huge President Trump supporter. I'm a huge President Trump supporter. And so I have to ask you your thoughts as well. A few minutes minutes before we started recording this show, we were talking about Kanye West and, you know, his appearance today on Alex Jones. He walked off set off of Tim Pool. He had that dinner with President Trump where, in my opinion, I think that was just a setup. I think that he's purposefully trying to undermine President Trump. For what reason? I don't know. There are a lot of different reasons that that could be the case. But I think that he clearly has a lot of mental health issues. What is your perspective on that whole situation? And what do you want to comment on that?
Well, I don't know Kanye West. I've never met him in person, but I did see some of that interview on Alex Jones a few minutes before we got started, and I was concerned about some of the statements being made, and Nick Fuentes being there as well. The anti-Semitism, that has got to stop. It is out of control. That we have no place for that anywhere in politics or anywhere in our country. Just like Ilhan Omar should be held accountable for her hate Israel views and how anti-Semitic she is, we should not allow it. And, you know, here's a really interesting thing. They're trying to blow this whole thing up and lay it on President Trump. President Trump had no clue who Nick Fuentes is. He had no clue who those people were that came with Kanye West. And so it's really unfair to point the finger at President Trump, and it's completely wrong. And the Democrats and the media, the mainstream media, are completely ignoring the fact that Joe Biden goes home every weekend. And while we have a White House log telling us who the visitors are that go to the White House every single day when Joe Biden is there and who visits with him and meets with him, we have no log or visitors log or any information of who goes to his house in Delaware when he's at home every single weekend. 25% of the time that he has been in office, he has been at that house in Delaware, and we don't know what's happening. But we did see a really weird news story this past week, where the rental cars that the Secret Service rented and drove President Biden and his family around that weekend when they were back home in Delaware visiting with we don't know who and doing what. We have no idea. He's our president. We don't know what he's doing and who he's meeting with. But those same cars, when they were returned to the airport, miraculously and magically and mysteriously combusted into flames and created a massive fire there in the parking lot close to huge gasoline reserves with jet fuel there for the next at the airport, very close to there. So why isn't the media asking those questions? But yet they are obsessed with these people going to visit President Trump and what was said and who was said. But yeah, on Alex Jones right now, that's what they're leaning into. And you want to know why they're doing this with President Trump? This is the only way they can get attention, because the reality, most of America, most people in this country has no clue who Nick Fuentes is. And if they heard his statements that he makes, they would want nothing to do with him. He sounds like a very immature young man saying hateful things about people and calling, using a people group, talking about people he doesn't like by an entire people group, which is horrible. Why would he ever do that? And then also saying, oh, I'm not racist or I'm not these things. Yeah, you are if you talk that way, because that's how you sound. And I don't know why Kanye West would align himself with that. It makes no sense to me whatsoever, because the reality is, why would anyone want to follow or hang out with someone that condemns an entire group of people constantly when he knows nothing? What has he ever done in his life? What government position or when has he ever been elected? Really, how is he so all in the know about all these things that he talks about? Because he knows nothing more than anyone else that can sit there on the internet and Google things and look up information, whether it's real or not, and then talk about it on a podcast or on some social media site. But that's what I'm seeing. And I think it's sad. I think people are fed up with this stuff. I know I'm fed up with it. We need serious people that want to solve problems and fix all the problems that we have in this country. We need serious people that want to step up and get the job done instead of sling hate and mud at President Trump nonstop, because the truth is they could never accomplish anything President Trump has done in just one day of his life. All of those people, attacking President Trump, hating on President Trump, and saying Trump should have done this, Trump should have done that. You know what? They couldn't survive a day in President Trump's shoes. That is the truth. So they need to go sit down and shut up and try to figure out how to get a real job and get something done and be a productive member of society instead of a nonstop hating member of society. That's not helping us move forward. And that's what I saw on the Alex Jones show. And I tell you what, I'm an Alex Jones fan. Absolutely love his show and appreciate Alex, but all of it's being laid out there. So the more Kanye West and Nick Fuentes and all these people continue to open their mouth and talk, they are digging their own hole. And President Trump has nothing to do with them. It doesn't align himself with them. Had no clue who that group was. He knew Kanye West, but it was absurd what happened there. And so I'm flat out telling you the truth, what I think about it, Jenna, because I'm really disgusted with the whole thing.
Yeah, it's so well said. And I completely agree with you. And I think you're absolutely right to call out anti-Semitism, but to call it out on all sides or anywhere that it's found. And the thing that I find so hypocritical is that there are so many people who are so seemingly disgusted with President Trump going to a dinner that he had absolutely no idea who else was going to be involved. And yet you have people like Ilhan Omar that are very clearly anti-Semitic, that the left doesn't call them out. And then you also have people on the left that categorically are anti-Christian as well. And they will call out an entire group of whether it's Christians or whether it's white people. I mean, that is racist. Yep. And that has no place in America as well. And I find it to be very concerning that the left has picked and they're picking and choosing what is acceptable in terms of what categories of people can be as a wide swath and categorically condemned or spoken ill of. And somehow it's more acceptable to the left to be anti-Christian or anti-white than to be anti-Semitic or anti-Black, where all of us would say all of those things are wrong. You don't want to be anti anything categorically, and we should all condemn that behavior or those words and actions wherever it's found. And that shouldn't be a partisan issue, but yet you find that the left they're the only ones who are picking and choosing what categories of people they want to condemn based on their political preferences and based on their partisan interests. And I find that really disgusting as well.
Yeah, they're the Democrats and the left are the party of hypocrites because they never call out Joe Biden for the things that he does. And he's committed real crimes. The man can't even talk straight. We don't know where he goes 25% of the time as president of the United States. They're not obsessed with that. Where's Joe Biden's tax returns? If they want President Trump's tax returns, well, we want Joe Biden's tax returns. Shouldn't we want those equally and sit there and pick them apart? Because I guarantee you right now, we definitely have more than we need in Hunter Biden's laptop. And here's some good advice for everyone. If you are addicted to drugs and sleeping with a bunch of prostitutes and videoing yourself, and you're doing business with the wrong people and you're making illegal transactions and your daddy happens to be in a position of power, don't leave your laptop at the repair shop because it's going to lead to problems. And that's exactly where Hunter Biden's laptop is going to lead. It's going to lead to impeaching Joe Biden as president of the United States. That should be our focus. We don't need criminals in power. Just in the same way, we don't need hypocrites controlling the narrative, talking about who you're allowed to hate, who you're not allowed to hate. I don't hate anybody, but I'll tell you there's things that I think are wrong. Genital mutilation of children is absolutely wrong, and it's child abuse. And I want to make it a federal law to make it where you cannot cut off a child's breast or do a hysterectomy and take out their ovaries and their uterus where they can never have children before they're even 18. Or how about these other horrible things that they do and puberty blockers to these kids, because that is child abuse. And how about these Hollywood elites and these companies that have blatant, sexual material and you know, like that company that has, I can't even say the name. What is it called?
Fabliancia or something like that.
Yes, but they're not the only one. There's plenty of companies like them. We need to start calling that out and say, we will not tolerate it. You know, the Republican Party is the party that wants to protect children. And that's where we need to all come together. Enough of this. The left has come after our kids while they're hypocritically calling us hateful names and accusing us of all this stuff. Enough. That's what I'm saying. Enough of the drama. We need to stop the drama, and we need to, you know, tell the haters, pipe down and be quiet and help. Why don't you help out instead of just throw mud? Because there's real problems in our country, and we're a sinking ship, and we're all on the ship together. So fighting amongst ourselves and creating more drama and telling lies about people is not helping. But we need to get together and focus on the same mission. And that should be America first, because we're all on that ship and we're like the Titanic, sinking very quickly. And so, you know, I just don't have time for all this garbage that we saw. I can't even believe it. I'm like, why is this happening? And why are people paying attention to it when there's real problems happening every single day? And they ignore the ones that are holding the power. And that's the one sitting right there in the White House, where I don't think he belongs.
No, I don't think he belongs there either. And it's so well said that we don't hate anyone, but we will call out actions that are wrong. And that used to be the basis of our entire legal system, of the entire system of government, to be able to say, as a civil society, there are certain actions that are permissible and there are certain actions that are prohibited. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background, your gender, your race, your age, whatever. It matters the actions and the type of conduct that you commit, whether or not that is right or wrong, and society can designate it so because we have a higher moral standard and we all have the same understanding of that moral standard, that our rights come from God, our creator, not our government. And so protecting and preserving our rights means that all of law is inherently moral. And that used to be the basis and the commonality of what we understood as the American mandate and the mandate of our Constitution and our civil society. And so while the left would like to call us hateful and bigots and all of these other names, well, no, we don't hate anyone. And we certainly don't hate any categories of people, but we will call out actions and conduct that is wrong, that is morally impermissible, and that is downright evil, like grooming, like what you were talking about with, you know, the child genitalia reassignment surgeries and, you know, gender affirming, et cetera, which is such a ridiculous moniker for that. And it's the wrong name. It's actually child abuse. Yeah. And then also with this whole Respect for Marriage Act. This is something that I think, you know, obviously they're going to push through the House before the new majority changes over. I was very disappointed to see that 12 Republican senators signed on to this so that it got past the 60 vote threshold in the filibuster. But this is something where we can and we should call out morally wrong conduct and say that Congress doesn't have the moral authority to redefine marriage as an institution that God created. And they also don't have the constitutional authority to determine for the states something that is clearly by the Constitution designated to the states, because it's not given to the federal government. So what's your perspective on that? And I know that, you know, this is probably going to pass through the House before everything changes over January 3rd. But in terms of just calling out things that are right and wrong, and I don't think that Congress not only has constitutional authority, but moral authority for this particular action as well.
Well, Jenna, I think we need to recognize what it really is it's another Democrat trick to use in campaign ads. That's all this is, because they know for a fact that gay marriage is not anywhere under attack in this country, and no one's trying to take it away from them. The whole purpose of that bill is an attack on Christians, and it's an attack on religious freedom. That's exactly what that bill is about. It will be used against Republicans in campaign ads of, oh, they voted against gay marriage. And, you know, it's a fear thing. So they're going to try to use the gay community to turn them against the Republican Party, because guess what? A lot of the LGBT, go with the LGB. I don't know about the T's and the Q's, but most of them, many of them, vote Republican. And the Democrats want to peel off as many voters as they can. And that's what this is really about. It's nothing but a trick. And Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are really good at it, because they did the same thing to us. And that's what they did with Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and they launched a major campaign saying that the Republicans are ending abortion in America. Well, yes, we're pro-life, and we believe in motherhood and we believe in protecting the sanctity of life and protecting the lives of the unborn. But they used it in campaign ads as fear mongering to women who are pro abortion and got them to turn out and vote. It actually hurt us in the 2022 midterm elections. But that's what these bills and these votes are really about. It's about, number one, hurting religious freedoms and attacking Christianity. Number two, setting up campaign attacks in the next election, because this is how the Democrats work. They're always thinking ahead into the next election, and they're looking at ways to hurt Republicans. The reality is, guess what? Sadly, abortion is legal in every single state in the United States, even though now it's been given to the states to make up their mind on their own abortion laws. Women still have access to abortion, whether conservatives agree with it or not. And then the reality is, there's not a big campaign. I haven't seen any bills. I haven't seen anything to end gay marriage, in this country. That, like you said, that should be given to the states to decide, but they're taking over this concept so they can use it and build fear in an identity, a group of people, because that's what they love. They love identity politics. They love harnessing an issue, creating fear in this identity, and then using it in a way in political ads to pull voters in for them. And that's what people should be really looking at here and seeing it for exactly what it is. And then Republicans, we need to get smarter and we need to use the same thing, because our policies work for every single American. Our policies are the policies that will make our country a great country again. And it's not a scary thing to say, make America great again. That is probably one of the best things we should say. We should be saying, make America great again, because we all want a great country to live in. Those aren't scary words. Those aren't bad words. Those are wonderful words. But the Republican Party, we need to get smart too. We need to put them on the line. You know, I have a bill right now, a House resolution that I introduced before Thanksgiving, that basically calls for a full audit on every single penny that has gone to Ukraine. It demands an audit. And so what we should do as Republicans is we should force bills like that to the floor and go say, okay, Democrats, go ahead and vote no to the and tell the American people they have no right to see where their money is going to Ukraine, because that matters to Americans, whether they're Democrat or Republican. They want to know where their money's going, especially when it's defending another country's border, when our border is wide open. So I think Republicans, we should, you know, take a little play out of Nancy Pelosi's playbook, and we should play ball. And that's what I hope that we start doing starting in January.
I hope so too. And that actually leads me into the last category of questions that I want to ask you before we run out of time here, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is that, you know, a lot of these things that Republicans want to do, and even if we play ball like they do and say, okay, if you don't vote for an audit of the Ukraine money, we're going to use that in ads and so forth. But the media will not cover it in the same way that they cover the Democrats' narrative. And so with the rise of alternative platforms and with conservative or actual just real journalism, you know, that's not biased one way or the other, just actually tells it how it is, for the purpose of making America great again, which shouldn't just be one party's political slogan, that should be in the hearts of every American who recognizes at the end of the day, we are all Americans first. So with this whole rise of free speech on Twitter, you have your account back, which is amazing. I think that Elon Musk is under huge attack, and to see what Apple is doing in terms of potentially threatening to take Twitter off of the App Store, Google threatening that as well. What has been talked about in terms of Section 230 and some of the government oversight there in terms of wanting to protect free speech?
That's one of the things that we definitely want to do. We also want to do investigations into companies like Twitter. And Elon Musk has revealed that he said just recently that Twitter did meddle into elections. And so these are the kinds of things that we need to subpoena people, subpoena information, and we have a lot of questions to ask. I also want to remind everyone that Congress is not the Justice Department. We have the power to do investigations. We have subpoena power on certain committees like oversight and judiciary, and we can pull people in and question them and subpoena information, but it's the Department of Justice that prosecutes. And so, you know, people need to understand that. I want accountability on every single level. But I do want to remind everyone that it requires a Department of Justice that will put aside its political bias, which is hard left, and hate Trump and everybody aligned with Trump and hate Republicans. But we need a Department of Justice that will prosecute crime. But as far as, you know, going after these people, it has to be done. And, you know, this is something that we're just going to have to make happen.
Mm-hmm. And so for the next 2 years that we have a Joe Biden Department of Justice, unless he is impeached and ultimately removed, which should happen under the Constitution. Unfortunately, we do have a politically biased Department of Justice that is just the Department of Hating Trump. It's not really the Department of Justice right now.
That's right.
In that legal sense. But there is a lot of great work that you can do. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, really appreciate it. And in the last just few minutes that I have with you here, is there anything else that you would like to tell the American people that we can anticipate in a hopeful sense for the new House majority starting in January?
I can't think of anything. I'll tell you something kind of interesting. My observation here this week, being at work in and around the Capitol, just chatting with everybody that just works, staff that works in the Capitol, it's definitely starting to feel like Christmas around here. And I've been comparing it to like the land of Narnia, where the Ice Queen is losing her reign of power, and the ice is melting, the snow is melting. Even though the temperatures are cold here in Washington, people are a lot happier and looking forward to Republican control in the House of Representatives starting in January.
That's great. And I love your Narnia reference, because I actually just watched that with my family over Thanksgiving, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors. I love that movie. So that was such a timely reference. But thank you so much, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for all of the work that you do. I know that you are one that comes under a lot of attack, has so many haters out there, but you just don't care, because you are standing for the truth. You're standing for what's right. And you are truly working hard for the American people. So I want you to know that we love you and appreciate you for that. And thank you. And please keep up the good work. And we're all here to support you and really appreciate your insights and letting us know what's going on in the halls of Congress, because I think that's really important for the American people. And we all have hope listening to you and knowing that advocates and champions like you are in Congress. So thank you so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you, Jenna. And Merry Christmas if I don't see you beforehand.
Merry Christmas. Thanks. See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook, and I just posted yesterday a really great interview with the president of Legacy Precious Metals, who is discussing why you need to start your retirement account even if you're in your 20s or 30s. There is always a great time to protect your retirement and invest, just like you want to protect your health over the long term. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to you, his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. So for example, the queen size is regularly priced at $89.98, but is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Jenna, J-E-N-N-A. So order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale bed sheets are
breathable, and have a cool and crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. You can call 1-800-564-8475 and use the promo code Jenna, or go to mypillow.com/Jenna. You can click on the radio listener square and use the promo code Jenna. That's J-E-N-N-A. Thank you so much to all of Mike Lindell's listeners and listeners of this podcast for making sure to support MyPillow and using our exclusive listener promo code Jenna. That's J-E-N-N-A.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.